Hello, this is Radio Kate. We're still at the Perimeter Institute and I've come up to the Black Hole Bistro and I found James Gates, who gave a very interesting, although slightly complex, talk this morning called Does Reality Have a Genetic Basis? Now he's from the University of Maryland and is also on Obama's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. I've got a couple of questions for you. Firstly, in your talk this morning you were talking about visualizing equations in a kind of pictorial form. Can you explain, like, how does that really work?
Well, first of all, I'm not the inventor of the process. In physics, the most striking example of this kind of process are what are called Feynman diagrams. They were invented by the physicist Richard Feynman around at the end of the 40s in order to talk about the way that electrons and photons interact. These are a set of diagrammatic images together with rules that tell you how to take the pictures and directly convert those into calculations that involve calculus. So the kind of process that I was describing today is an analog of that. We have found a set of pictures which come from basically from cubes, which is sort of a strange, almost medieval idea that you would look at geometry. But we have this way of looking at geometry and deriving from that the kinds of equations that describe the force carriers of the standard model and the kinds of things that involve electromagnetism, gravity, what have you. And so it's a stunning development that all of a sudden equations actually have this hidden pictorial life that you have to dig and find.
And can you explain in as simpler terms as you can manage this idea of the genetic basis?
Yes, well, the idea is that these pictures that our research, and as I said, I'm part of a group that's been working on this actively since 2002, these pictures lead us to objects that in the mathematics play the role of genes. They are information-carrying bits, as you might want to call them, that you can put together in different ways. And when you do, you actually get different sets of equations. So these things really are like taking a set of genes or chromosomes and say, well, gee, I'm going to turn this into a fish, or I'm going to turn that into a bird. It's the same set of genes, but it's the ways that you link them together that leads to the different outcome. And that's the kind of thing that we've found in these objects, these mathematical objects.
And the pictures themselves were quite beautiful, but I'm not a physics person. But the question that ended up being in my head was, looking at these patterns, I wasn't sure how you could be certain that the pretty patterns that you found weren't just a product of the assumptions that your equations were based on. How do you know that what you're seeing is real as opposed to just something that you've kind of created?
Sure. Well, first of all, we have to make some assumptions or else we can't do the science. These assumptions are founded on the mathematics that our species has been developing for essentially the last 300 to 400 years and how you use mathematics to describe the world. That's essentially where our high technology comes from, because we've gotten as a species very good at that. So the kinds of equations that we take as our assumptions are equations that are well established. In fact, they underlie the operation of this device you're sticking in my face right now to record this message. They're the equations of quantum mechanics, they're the equations that describe electrons, they're the equations that describe photons. So we're not going to challenge those assumptions. However, those equations can be embedded inside of larger equations that are called super equations. And in fact, what our constructions describe are actual super equations, where the ordinary kinds of equations are parts of them. So what we've been after is a tool that, on the one hand, allows us to understand an incredible complexity, because the equations themselves can be very, very complex. I think you saw some examples in the lecture, and those were among the simplest equations I work with. So we were looking for an alternative tool that lets us understand the essential nature of the equations without having to do the algebra and the calculus and what have you. And this very strange set of diagrams seems to fit the bill.
Perfect. Thank you.